Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. The psychologist Lawrence Kohlberg, in a number of different papers and books, set out a theory of human moral development, a very comprehensive theory that distinguishes six stages. And this is often brought up in the context of ethics, in part because we can associate certain moral theories or ethical perspectives with these different stages. And there's a sort of valorization. It's not good for a person to remain down here where they do indeed have to start. The ideal is for them to advance all the way up to level six. Kohlberg himself, in point of fact, does not think that that happens in the case of most people within most cultures and institutions, but he is setting this out as a sort of blueprint for how a person would become a progressively better and better human being. And all of this has to do not just with what they would do. As a matter of fact, he points out that a person might be able to carry out moral reasoning without being able to necessarily fulfill what that moral reasoning requires, and that's a separate issue. Rather, it's in terms of the ways in which we think out the situations, dilemmas, problems, issues that we encounter, and what we bring to bear, what values we have. What strategies, what things we consider to be relevant or important in making moral decisions. And one last thing before we look at each of these stages in turn. Kohlberg believes that not only can you find these across cultures, a person cannot skip stages. Now, they could be forced into a situation or institution where they're supposed to behave and recognize a higher stage, and they might actually be able to function for a little while in that context. But in general, in order to develop, you have to start at stage one. You can't skip that all the way up to stage five. You have to go into stage two or level two, and then go to the next level, three, four, five, and all the way up to the top. You cannot jump through the ladder, so to speak. There's no way of shortcutting the process. And it happens through not only maturation, but also through moral conflicts and having to think these things out and reflecting on one's own experiences, which are quite often experiences of failure. So all that said, let's talk about these six stages now. And Kohlberg associates them into three groups. We have what he calls a pre-conventional level or stage, which includes number one and number two. Then we have a conventional one, where social conventions, the mores of the society or culture or group, or even perhaps even family, if we're talking about isolated individuals, becomes very important. And that includes three and four. And then we have a post-conventional, which doesn't mean that conventions are entirely left behind, but they are placed into a larger context in which conventions make sense in terms of and in how they contribute to something that goes beyond, something that transcends mere conventions. So stage one, and I'm taking this from Moral Development, a review of the theory. Stage one, he calls this the punishment and obedience orientation. A person who is at this stage focuses primarily on the physical and perhaps to some degree emotional consequences of action. Those determine the goodness or badness of an action. So if an action gets me punished, it's a bad action. If an action gets me rewarded, it is a good action, or it could be good if it doesn't involve any sort of punishment that I'm taking. He says that this is looked at this way regardless of the human meaning or value of those consequences. So all those are put aside for somebody who's at level one. He goes on to say that avoidance of punishment, unquestioning deference to power, are valued in their own right, not in terms of anything else. And he specifies that at the level four, there's also this respect for authority, but that's very different than what's happening at level one. At level one, you respect authority because they can punish you. At level four, there is a more abstract recognition that authority itself is good in some way, not just because they can punish you. Some people will remain at level one their entire life. Most people, Kohlberg thinks, are able to move on to level two, or stage two, what he calls the instrumental relativist orientation. And here, we're looking at things through the lens of what's good for me, so it's very egoistic, and in terms of what's instrumentally good for me. What's instrumentally good becomes good. What's instrumentally bad, what stands in the way of my desires, becomes bad. And I start to take other people into consideration. I start to think about their needs, but primarily just insofar as they have to do with my needs. So he gives the example of saying, I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine. That's not quite the same thing as a recognition of reciprocity. That's more just saying this is a useful strategy for both of us to get what we want. And there's no value of the other person as such in an orientation along these sorts of lines. So he says, human relations are viewed in terms like that of the marketplace. Today, we might call that a transactional way of looking at things. That's a very common term that's being used today for ethics, transactional ethics. Somebody who's got transactional ethics, pretty low level of moral development. Then we move into the conventional levels, and here there's kind of a interesting leap that takes place. So he says, at this level, maintaining expectations of the individual's family, group, or nation becomes perceived as valuable in its own right. Prior to that, it was just, listen, I want to get the stuff I want, or I just want to avoid being punished, so I'll say the party line. Now the person actually starts to believe it, and they start to use that in their moral reasoning. Says the attitude is not only one of conformity to personal expectations and social order, but of loyalty to it, valuing it, actively maintaining, supporting, and justifying the order. And he says there's two stages involved here. The lower stage is what he's got a couple names for this, interpersonal concordance, or, you know, harmony with other people, right? And he calls this the good boy or nice girl orientation. Good behavior is what? That which pleases or helps others and is approved by them. He says there's much conformity to stereotypical images of what is majority or natural behavior. Behavior is judged by intention, saying a person means well, becomes important for the first time, and you win approval by being nice to other people, by satisfying the social conventions, which now are come, you know, to be valued in their own right. So a people pleaser is at this level. And we might think that certain ethics could also be at this level. If your ethics is primarily based on how you make other people feel, an ethics of sympathy, for example, then that would probably be at level three. At level four, Kohlberg thinks we have a higher stage of development because now we're starting to grasp abstract things no longer within the matrix of relationships, but for their own sake, for the first time, as things that are valuable in their own sake. So he says, he calls this the law and order orientation. He says, there's an orientation towards authority, fixed rules, the maintenance of the social order. Right behavior consists of doing one's duty, showing respect for authority, and maintaining the given social order, following the rules, not breaking them. Maybe even going beyond that and thinking about what the rules really require of you so you can be conscientious. And here there's kind of an interesting bifurcation. It's rules, but it's also the person who happens to be in charge. You might say, well, what if there's a conflict there? Well, then you've got a level four issue going on, right? Now, by moving past the pre-conventional and conventional levels, we start to get into the realm of where Kohlberg thinks real human moral development is taking place. Many people do manage to get into the social convention phase, level three and level four, but not too many people actually make it to five and six, he thinks. says, at this level, there's an effort to define moral values and principles that have validity and application apart from the authority or emotional tenor of groups, things that are more universal, things that are more abstract, things that you could say are part of a civilization rather than just part of a culture. So he calls the first one a social contract legalistic orientation, and he says generally with utilitarian overtones. What does that mean to have utilitarian overtones? It means that you think about how things affect the community as a whole, and you look at decisions in a rather flexible way, saying we want to maximize the good outcomes and minimize the bad outcomes. That means that some people, in fact, may have some bad outcomes imposed on them, but we only do that for the sake of maximizing the total good that is going to be produced. And very often this will be framed in terms of respecting individual rights or people having individual rights, norms agreed to by the society rather than norms that just happen to be there, right? Norms that a reasonable person could come up with. That's why it's a social contract theory. There is, as I pointed out, that utilitarian overtone to it. He says there's a clear awareness of the relativism of personal values and opinions and a corresponding emphasis on rules for reaching consensus. It's no longer just rules that you have to obey, because they're rules, it's now the rules themselves serve a purpose in allowing us to work out our problems with each other. They become procedural rules as opposed to substantive rules. At level six, which usually in Kohlberg's theory, he did theorize about a level seven in a few places. Level six is usually viewed as the pinnacle of his theory. He calls this the universal ethical principle orientation. He tells us that right is defined by the decision of conscience in accord with, notice this key idea, self-chosen ethical principles appealing to logical comprehensiveness, universality, and consistency. So that's quite a mouthful. Think about what that actually means. Universal ethical principles that are chosen by the person. This cannot be a frivolous or arbitrary choice, because the universal ethical principles that are chosen do have to themselves meet these standards: logical comprehensiveness, universality, consistency. They have to cover all the cases. They have to be consistent with each other. So you can't just pick principles willy-nilly. For example, Kohlberg would not say that the Marquis de Sade and the characters that he places his philosophy in the mouth of in his novels is a level six guy because he's you know, got these universal ethical principles. He does actually have universal ethical principles, but they're not really ethical principles that would be logically consistent and could be applied across the board. Instead, what are some examples? He says the golden rule, the categorical imperative, Kantian morality, for example, would fit in there. He says they're not concrete rules like the Ten Commandments. At heart, these are universal principles of justice, reciprocity, and equality of human beings, and respect for the dignity of human beings as individual persons. So you see, there's quite a difference between this and everything that's going on at a lower level. And the person has to be able to choose these principles for themselves. So for Kohlberg, there is a full development of the human being in going from level one all the way up to level six or even to level five. That's pretty good in his book. There are some criticisms that have been made of the theory, but it is quite an interesting stage development model. And as I pointed out, how do you move from you know, place to place within this, through experiences, through talking with others, through failures and reflecting on those, through conflict, and eventually through changing what it is that you value and how you think about moral decision making. Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/Sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.